tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello. Welcome to Common Ground. This is a place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Hello, everybody. How's everyone doing today on this beautiful day? I hope everyone is fine and in the best of health today. Okay. So today, this is what I want to do, right? I want to promote this book that I wrote. Okay. You know what I mean? As a writer, as a reader of a lot of books. Yes, I do read a lot of political books, but I also like psychological thriller type of books, right? I do, right? Sometimes when I'm at home, if there's nothing on TV, I turn on the ID channel and watch a lot of true crimes too. You know what I mean? That's where I got this idea from, right? So, suppose as a woman, y'all can probably think I'm crazy. Suppose as a woman, it was 2 months pregnant, you're pregnant, and then you had a dream. You went to sleep that night, just went to sleep. But in your dream, you dreamt for the next 30 years of your life, right? From when your son is born till he is 30 years old. And come to find out that your child is a serial killer. What would you do? And you wake up, right? But your dream seems so real. Seems so real, like, oh God, my heart, is this really happening? Can it really be true? But it felt real. Would you give the benefit of the doubt and keep the baby, or would you have an abortion? What would you do? Would you choose love? That's the question that you ask yourself, huh? Because sometimes I'm up with thinking though, right? When I watch these true crime channel, and there might be a dude on there that's killing a lot of people, and in my mind, I'd be like, imagine if the mom know that the child's gonna be a serial killer, which is still carry the child to term. I think about stuff like that. I do. You know what I mean? Because no parent would want their kids to embarrass them like that. You see what I'm saying? Let's be real about the situation. No parent wanted the kid to be embarrassed like that. Right? So now, before he was born. Okay, so. So Elizabeth Prescott, right? That's the name of the woman that's pregnant. Elizabeth Prescott and her unsettling dreams she begins having during her early pregnancy. You know what I mean? Like I said, she was pregnant, early pregnant, and she was with her and her husband went to bed that night, and she dreamt. You know what I mean? For the next 30 years of her life, what's going to happen, you know what I mean, to this kid? So, her balances maternal joy, right, with her psychological dread, right? So, she was happy when she found out that she was pregnant. She was like, oh, man, tell her husband, baby, guess what, I'm pregnant. I remember when she talked about it, she was like telling her husband, oh, baby, I'm so happy. You know what I'm saying? We've been wanting this child for a while, and I'm so happy that I'm pregnant now. You know what I mean? I'm pregnant, but we both have this beautiful baby. I don't know what baby it is, but we have a beautiful baby. Although, you know what I'm saying, we took the pregnancy test, you know, but I still wanted to be sure. So guess what she did? She went to the doctor's office, and she made an appointment, you know what I mean? I got in right away. So she wanted a blood test. I want to make sure, 100% sure, that she would have this, that she's actually really pregnant. Okay. So, her husband, though, you know, when she told her husband that she was pregnant, though, her husband cared, happy, right? But he was a little bit dismissive because, you know, they've been wanting a child for a while. So he was like, okay, hey, baby, I'm so happy for you, baby. Yeah, oh, man, so happy that you're pregnant. You know what I mean? Just the typical man stuff, right? Typical man stuff. Okay, so they went to the doctor, whatever, got the pregnancy test done. I couldn't find out that she's pregnant. And then, right, then I wanted to find out the first person that she called was her best friend, Nina Rivera, right? So Nina is like her best friend. She tells her friend every daggone thing about what's going on in her life, right? So once she found out that she's pregnant, of course, like a homegirl, she came over, you know what I mean, to the house with a bottle of wine. And she was like, hey, Liz, you can't be pregnant. No, you can't be drinking. But we guess what? Me and her husband's name is Michael, right? Me and Michael about to have a drink for you. You know what I mean? Because we're happy. And they was in the house. They were celebrating, oh, man, about this wonderful milestone right here. They were celebrating it because they were so happy, you know what I'm saying, that she's about to have a child, right? Like most parents, like every, I should say, every couple do, right? Right, once they find out that a woman is pregnant, they're happy because, you know what I'm saying, they're about to bring life into this earth, right? Onto this earth. Okay, so Elizabeth, right? Sometimes, you know, even before her dream, she'll still have like a deja vu, you know what I mean? That for her unborn child is destined to become a serial killer. Her child is destined to become a serial killer. Like, she'll have all these feelings, right? She having the feelings, you know what I mean? And maybe when she went into a deep sleep and she started dreaming, maybe those feelings actually went off into a dream, right? You know what I mean? She started having these intuitions, right? And her logic and her gender perception of mental health, you know what I mean? Because think about it, right? Back then, even back then, people didn't really talk about mental health, right? But all the stuff was creeping up in her mind. You know what I mean? Elizabeth inner self, right? And her real maternal fear about raising a boy child. You know what I mean? She's a woman, you know what I'm saying? And raising a boy child, you understand me, is like her eternal fear. Although she does have a husband there to help her raise this boy child, right? So, you know what I'm saying, in this book, you know what I'm saying, the writing does build on ease from the very beginning, right? You know what I mean? It builds on ease from the beginning of this writing. Because if you're reading the book, you'll be like, oh, man, can it really happen, though? You know what I mean? What would I do if that was me? And I knew for a fact, and I knew the end, and I knew this, that my child would go up to become a monster. Huh? Okay, so in this book too, right? I talk about like the seeds and stuff being planted, you know what I'm saying? From the beginning, right? The seeds being planted, you know what I'm saying? Literally and symbolically too, man. They're just happening within this book. You know what I mean? Elizabeth Prescott, right? So the racial dynamics, right, of Nina, right? Nina present. And her grown perspective too, right? So, you know, Nina Rivera, she's a Hispanic, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, Elizabeth is a white woman. So, you know what I'm saying? The racial dynamics between them two is okay because this was back, it started out in the 70s, okay? So this was back in those days as well, you know? And, oh, man, they really had a bond between them two, right? So, you know what I'm saying? And now, the end of chapter one went on to talk about the dream and her premonition and how tied to generational trauma that could happen, right? The end of chapter one, talk about that. You know what I mean? And then Elizabeth, of course, internal decision to trust her instincts or push the visions aside, right? That was it. Chapter one, right? Talk about all the stuff. And then, of course, you know what I'm saying? She's not falling asleep. Right? Now, this is the start of her dream now. Elizabeth went into labor and experienced delivery, right, for the first time, right? And how emotional it was for her delivering a child, a boy child, into this world. Having a boy child, right? So, David Prescott, as time went on, of course, you know, the justification, just our position of beauty and dread in David Prescott's birth, right? You know what I mean? She's like, damn, I got a beautiful, handsome little boy right here. But she's catching, but she can't shake the feeling that something's going to happen. Something bad is going to happen one day. You know what I mean? Michael, of course, her husband was happy. Oh, I got a boy. Yeah, you know, I got my son. But Elizabeth felt unease, right? Elizabeth felt unease. You know what I'm saying? Before he was born. You know what I mean? Got so much great thing in the book that could be discussed even around the kitchen table. Okay? So, the hospital staff, of course, reacts to Elizabeth's behavior, concern, or judgment. You know what I mean? Because even after, once she had her baby and stuff like that, she still felt unease after situating like something is going to happen. Okay, so Elizabeth, right? As time goes on, you know, so her imaginary and whether it intensifies after the birth, right? So even after the child's born, her feelings, how was it? It was intensified a lot, you know what I mean? Of her book, of her of how she felt about the young baby boy. What's going to happen in the future? Okay, so as time goes on now, her son's name is David, right? So as time goes on, you know, they start seeing early signs of this young kid, right? His tone, his silence, the way he'd focus, right? The way he'd focus at all times. Certain things just it's not normal for a little kid to do, right? So even a little bit as a mom, sometimes she get isolated and sometimes she will have these unresolved fear, like something is about to happen. Like she just can't shake the feeling that something will happen when this child gets older, right? You know what I mean? So as a mom, right, and the child bonding, the psychological and the trauma can interfere, right? So all the book talks about that, you know what I'm saying? A mother and a child bonding together. And also the psychological impact of how trauma can interfere too with the bonding. Because even Elizabeth have trauma, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Also, you know what I'm saying, of course, as the child gets older, you know what I mean? Elizabeth sometimes was being depressed, you know? And she would have this like insight. You know what I mean? Depression and insight. Depression versus insight. Now, where is this line being drawn? Huh? Where is this line being drawn between depression and prophetic insight? Because still having these insights about her young son. What's going to happen, huh? Okay, so even so, when she talked to her husband, Michael, right? And stuff like that. And Michael is rationalizing every damn thing. What's going on, right? You know what I'm saying? He's a protective. Is he protective or is he enabling the things that's going on, huh? The future conflict between maternal instinct and social expectation. Okay. Before he was born. I'm telling you, this book right here is a must read. So now let's dive into the next chapter now, right? David's earliest behavior, right? How does he differ from other children? That's the question that needs to be asked. How does David differ from other children, right? And as time goes on, Elizabeth noticed subtle signs, long silence, watching people, emotional detachment. You know what I mean? All that deal with some kind of some kind of mental health within a child at such a young age. You know what I mean? The child, hey, I'm trying to talk to nobody. I don't want to talk to no dagger about it. You know what I mean? And watching people that are very creepy. That creepy watching, watching people, right? And sometimes there's just long silence of watching but not talking. You know those people? You know those type of people that have been looking at you for a long time and ain't saying nothing? But not saying nothing? See what I'm saying? Right? And even Elizabeth, as time goes on, right? Her internal, the way she feels, her internal conflict and her love, right? Versus her suspicion. She loves her child, but at the same time, though, she's still suspicious of him, right? She's still suspicious of him. Nina, her friend Nina, the view of her energy and her vibration, right? Does she sense something is wrong? Or something is off, you know what I mean? So that's the question that we need to answer, right? Does Nina sense, man, you know what, somebody right with this damn kid. I know sometimes some of y'all go to somebody's house, right? See some of the children, you might have said it out loud, but in your mind, you'd be like, something's not right with this child, in your mind, right? Something off about this child. A lovely kid, you know what I mean? But something's off. It happens. Let's be real about the situation. It happens. And so when time goes on and Elizabeth was being a lot of paranoid about David, her son David. Think about it, right? Her husband started getting frustrated. I'm like, man, baby, come on, man, please. Leave it alone. It's fine. My son is fine. You know what I'm saying? That's the only child. My son is fine. He's going to be okay. Okay? So you know what I mean? So he was getting frustrated with her. All right? So, children, right, are innocent until proven guilty, right? So, the societal pressure, right, to view children as innocent until proven guilty. That's also the question, right? They're like, anybody's right, is the child innocent of what he's doing? Is he innocent of the thing that's going on? How is the dagger teacher taking his teachers, taking him? What is he doing to his teachers? Is his teachers calling his mom and telling his mom what's going on with him? Right? All that stuff. Okay, so the symbolic weight of David's little actions, are they meaningful? I mean, little actions. Hurting little animals, stuff like that. Is that meaningful for a child? You know what I mean? Is something off about that, right? And Elizabeth, right, still growing her fears. She's so fearful of being so unstable because she's very unstable right now about her son. Like she can feel it. Elizabeth Prescott, man. Like she can feel it of what's going on with her son or what is to come with her son. Right? Okay, so Elizabeth, right? After a while, Elizabeth isolates herself from everybody. Friends, everybody, because she's just kind of like she can't shake the feeling that something's going to happen like her son. You know what I mean? Her son, ain't it right. Something's not right with the son. You know what I'm saying? If you're a mom and you know something's not right with the child, of course he's going to feel a way. You know when someone's mom will act a certain way. It will happen. Okay? David, so even with David, right, interaction with her other children, is it normal or is it eerie? That's the question we need to ask. Is it normal or is it eerie? You know what I mean? How the writing subtly blurs the line between observation and obsession. I'm telling you, right? Is the line blurs between observation and obsession? Okay? Now, this is for like deeper psychological darkness ahead. There's going to be deeper psychological darkness ahead. You failed the test. Right? So now, we go into chapter 4. We go into chapter 4. David becomes more emotionally distant, and the manipulating becomes apparent. All right? He started manipulating his parents, manipulating everyone around him, and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just to get what he wants. Okay? So Elizabeth, her fear evolves into vigilance. She began documenting his behavior, which was a smart move. Document things, you know what I mean? Just see what's going on. Just see if there's a pattern. Okay? You know what I'm saying? David, sociopathy begins to emerge as he gets older now. It little small little stuff starting to emerge, right? You know what I'm saying? And all time, Michael, her other, of course, the father, sometimes our father could be in more of a denial than the mother sometimes. You know what I mean? And Michael continues to defend David, causing the marital strain between between Michael and Elizabeth, okay? Because like Elizabeth could feel what's going on. She could feel it within her son. Nah. Michael be like, no, my son's fine. He good. He a boy. You know what I'm saying? He'll go out of it. You know what I mean? Trust me. That's how he is, right? And so even like with a friend Nina now, Nina's concerns intensify, right? She warns Elizabeth that energy doesn't lie. Think about it, right? She can feel that energy. See what I'm saying? That energy of what's going on with David Prescott. Okay? So Elizabeth questions her sanity, right? So she starts seeking therapy and journaling and her paranoia. Right? Because she's paranoid, like, damn, ooh, man, something gonna happen to my son, man. I know my son I feel he's gonna do something crazy out there. Man, I'm worried about my boy. I'm worried about him. Okay? All right. So, predestined, right? Evil becomes more pronounced, right? So the idea of predestined evil from David becomes more pronounced. Okay, so David, right? When David charms outsiders, he knows how to wear a mask. So think about it, right? Most serial killers are charmers. If you ever watch a lot of these serial killer shows, a lot of them could charm, you know what I'm saying? Charm women out of their panties. Let's be real. Right? A lot of them are charming, man, could speak really well. And you never know. And that's what David Prescott was. Right? So, but there's early signs, though, man. I do believe when people become certain things in life, become a killer or a serial killer sometimes, there could be signs, man, early signs, right, of duality. One personality at home, another in public. So our home is one thing, but in public is something else. All right? Yeah. So Elizabeth tries to protect her son from himself, creating internal conflict between her and her husband. All right? So the moment that hints that the darkness is now irreversible, there's a moment in the book that hints the darkness is now irreversible, right? You got to read the book to find out. Before he was born. Think about it. Before he was born. Man, that's a great title for this book right here. All right? So, in chapter 5, right, talk about Elizabeth begins researching her and Michael's family's history for genetic clues. Say, hey, so research, man. We have in the killers in all them, you know, family that we don't know about? You know what I mean? In the serial killers or anything? So Elizabeth started researching. So she discovers a history of violence or sociopathy on one side, raising alarm. Elizabeth Prescott, raising alarm. Right? So this is where it all I'm saying get even more serious. Nature versus nurture. Can evil be inherited? That's the question we need to ask. Can evil be inherited? Okay. So Elizabeth started drawing family trees and tracking psychological traits, right? And to try to find a connection, see what's going on in David's head. So Michael becomes angry at her implications, defensive about his lineage, right? No, man, ain't nothing wrong with that. My family's good, man. My family tree is good. Okay. So, right, so there was a flashback of family anecdote that deepens the mystery, right, in the book. Man, this book is very deep. It goes into some deep stuff. Nina suggests ancestral trauma or spiritual baggage may be playing a role, right? Ancestral trauma or spiritual baggage, right? So the research isolates Elizabeth further from her husband, David. Her husband, David. So the idea of being cursed, genetic or supernatural of implication within this book, right? So I'm saying the idea too, man, it is a cursed thing. You know what I mean? A supernatural thing. All the stuff. So Elizabeth starts keeping secrets, afraid of being institutionalized. Or people start thinking she's crazy. You know what I mean? Something wrong with her. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing wrong with her son. Something could be wrong with her. So David exhibits behaviors mimicking dark elements from family history. And Elizabeth realizes she may not just be imagining this. So there's a pattern. There's a pattern. All right. Before he was born, okay? Make sure you pick it up. The book is available on Amazon, all right? Amazon. So go ahead and get yourself a copy, okay? So now, chapter 6. Now David is now a teen. Polite, successful, well-liked by teachers and friends. And that's how they start, right? They get you to like him. The serial killers get you to like them, right? Until they break the trust. So it's a contrast, right, between public perception with Elizabeth's private horror. Because she like, something right with my damn son. Right? So, sociopaths often wear the mask. Right? And this is David facade. Facade. Okay? David facade. All right? He wear the mask. Because, you know what I mean? He had his true colors. Elizabeth sees subtle cruelty, animals harm, cold manipulation of people. That's David for you. All right? Michael remains blind to it. His son is perfect in his eyes. Man, my boy, he's a good kid, man. Ain't nothing wrong with him. Okay? That's my seed right there. It's fine. So Elizabeth feels like a prisoner right in her own home, terrified of her child. Okay, so David saw gaslighting his own mother, right? Subtle psychological stuff, right? So David started, nothing, lying to the mom, all kind of stuff to the mom, fooling her, all kind of stuff, you know what I mean? So gaslighting her. And now Nina believes David may be spiritually possessed or beyond help. Now, this is a teenage boy we're talking about now. Is the boy really possessed? Excuse me. Or is it beyond help? So now, Elizabeth tries to expose David's true nature, but no one believes her. And this is her son. So the writing builds tension through isolation and disbelief. All right? So The mask slipped in private. David warned his mother to stop interfering. The man got his little old teenager now. You know what I'm saying? He could feel himself. Right? The chilling moment that leaves Elizabeth truly afraid for her life is, read the book and you find out. Right? The chilling moment that leaves Elizabeth truly afraid of her life. You know what I'm saying? Think about her own son. Afraid of her own son. How many parents out there that are actually afraid of the daggone kids, huh? It happened. So the first murder happens, but it looks like an accident or a misfortune, right? So this book is actually set in Hinesville, Georgia. Okay? First murder happens, right? Typical, right? Kindergarten, like a nurse, a young nurse. Just come from work. So now, after the first murder happened, Elizabeth started suspecting David. As soon as that happened, as she found out about it. But of course, she had no proof. And with the murder, with his victims, he liked to put, "You failed the test." Huh? What test? Yeah, you failed the test. Okay. So the psychological weight of knowing and being unable to prove it is like, man, she's just feeling it right now. Because she feels that her son is the one that did that murder. And she can't really prove it. You know what I mean? And after a while, David started speaking in a cryptic tone and threatening ways. I mean, start threatening his own mama. And now time goes on. Elizabeth, she starts hearing whispers, symbolic of paranoia or supernatural presence. Right? So the symbolism of sound, silence, and hidden truth, right? All that. Nina believes spirits or ancestors may be trying to guide Elizabeth. Elizabeth's dreams return, right? More vivid and violent, right? So even in her dream, as time goes on in her dream, the dream is more vivid and more violent when it comes to David and what he's doing. The presence of carved symbols or ritualistic signs, okay? So after a while, so Elizabeth started questioning if she is hallucinating, but the fear is too real. It's too daggone real. The whispers intensify. Are they internal guilt or external warnings? Is she feeling guilty? Is Elizabeth feeling guilty? Huh? Or just warnings. And after a while, Elizabeth started realizing someone else suspects David too. But who? But who's suspecting him? Okay. So now, chapter 8. Enter detectives Marcus Shaw and Sarah Whitmore. So these two detectives, right, are tasked to solving a pattern of death. Who keep killing these people, these women, and keep killing them the same way? Huh? They label David as the noose killer. Because he would actually kill people with a noose. Right? Just kill them. You know what I mean? Just strangle them. And then he'll put a note. "You failed the test." Huh? You understand me? The new skill, that's what David is. So the dynamic, right? Okay, the seasoned detective, the methodological, partner, right? So Marcus Shaw and Sarah Whitmore, Marcus Shaw is like a seasoned detective. Been around for a while. Sarah Whitmore is methodical, right? Or methodical, I should say. Sorry, methodical, right? And she's thinking. She's like, damn, we're gonna solve the dang crime. We're gonna solve this crime, right? So they begin collecting symbols, knots, and ritual elements at crime scenes. You failed the test. What's this coin right here? Okay. Yeah. The noose killer is born, right? A serial killer narrative begins. The noose killer, baby. Okay? At first, when I was writing the book, I was trying to figure out what should I label Dave? What kind of killer should I label him, right? And then, you know, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I'm a Dead for Life fan, okay? And Days of Alive used to have the necktie killer. Now I couldn't use that. I'm like, damn, that's too much, right? From a TV show. So I came up with the news killer. The news killer, you know what I mean? Yeah. So Elizabeth watches the investigations unfold from a distance and terrified. Man, is this my son? Doing all this? I'm thinking, is this my son? What's going on? I'm worried about my kid, man. Dang. Okay, so Michael brushes off the murders. Man, it ain't our problem. It's not our problem, okay? I don't know why you're so worried, Liz. Why you so worried about it? You think it's our son? Come on now. It's not our kid, okay? Man, David's a good kid. He's working. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's a good kid. He's not like that, man. Come on, baby. Please, stop thinking like that, okay? You know how things are, right? I mean, yeah, it might be a little off a little bit. It might be a little, some might be off, but my son can't be no damn killer. No way. It's not him, okay? It's somebody else that's doing those dagger murders. All right? So Elizabeth begins anonymously sending tips, risking exposure, right? Sending tips to the cops. Like, man, hey, detective, I think it's damn David Prescott doing all the damn murders out there. Okay. So the detective slowly built a psychological profile, matches David's behavior. Now, introducing the FBI profiler, Candace Wright. She's quietly brilliant and intuitive, right? She's quietly brilliant and intuitive, okay? So Ken's right. You know what I mean? I had to call, I'm not lying to you. I told you I like to watch a lot of True Detectives. And one FBI profiler that I've been seeing on some of these true crime shows, her name is Candace DeLong. So I'm like, you know what though? I gotta come up with an FBI profile. I'm gonna name her Candace too. You know what I mean? I ain't lying. Okay? That's why I did it. Candace begins profiling, right? So she begins profiling a young, intelligent, emotionless male suspect. The audience, so now, knows what the authorities don't. It's David. Okay? Elizabeth contemplating the unthinkable, turning her son in. So, if you knew your child was committing a lot of crimes, would you turn your child in? If the child was committing those crimes, would you? Huh? Or would you not say nothing? Come on, let me know. So now, chapter 9, right? Under the mask. David becomes a suspect, but lacks motive or record to clean. So he got clean record, so, you know what I mean? He become a suspect, so they don't really know if it's him or not. You know what I mean? Person of interest, as they would say. So Elizabeth did try to confront David, and he gaslights her masterfully. Because he's like this very intelligent man. And a lot of those serial killers are very intelligent people. Elizabeth tries to confront him, right? Like I said, and he gaslights her, right? So Marcus and Sarah visiting the Prescott home. David charms them effortlessly. Huh? You know what I'm saying? He's a charmer, man. Pretty boy, David. Pretty boy, handsome guy. And he knows how to speak very well. Okay? So Michael still refuses to believe anything negative about his son. Some parents are like that. You know what I mean? I don't believe my son is a damn killer. No, not my damn son. Right? So he refused to believe it. Candace suspects David, but needs more data. Begins stealing him. David, he starts talking Candace in return. Predator versus Profiler. Dang. This book right here could be made into a movie. That's what I feel right now. Could be made into a movie. So, the deeper tension, right, between appearance and reality, right? There's a deeper tension between that. Appearance and reality. Elizabeth breaks down, fearing both for her life and others. You know what I'm saying? She's really afraid of her son. You know what I mean? Thinking her son's going to do something to her. Nina tells Elizabeth she must act now, man. Something terrible is coming. And Nina could feel it too. Something terrible is coming. So Elizabeth finds something in David's room. Evidence, or is it a trophy? Right? So, you know what I'm saying? David from an adolescent, right? It's sociopathic behavior started to escalate as a young adolescent kid. Right? So, even with Candace quietly confirming, David, oh man, David fits the profile. David, oh my goodness. No, but we need to get more evidence on the man. So David commits his most brutal and symbolic murder yet. A new knot, a new message. Punishment must match the crime. Okay? You failed the test. Detectives are alarmed at the escalation. It's no longer a pattern, it's a manifesto. Elizabeth breaks into tears in front of Michael. He accuses her of mental illness. She's their wife of mental illness. Don't believe it. Candace begins focusing solely on David, crosses the line of protocol. David knows something is watching, right? Like David could feel it, like something's watching him. He begins counter-stalking Candace, right? You know what I mean? Are you watching me? I'm watching you too. The killings take ritualistic precision, right? Echoed of mythology or justice. Right? So, justice and punishment are being twisted by David. You failed the test. Elizabeth dreams of her death as well. David is watching her in it. Nina warns a spiritual reckoning is coming. Nina could feel it. So Elizabeth makes a terrifying discovery. David has written a journal. Right? And detectives making a breakthrough, locating location of the next murder. Man. So in the next chapter, right? Chapter 11 now, right? Beneath the floorboards, right? So Candace searches David's room, right, with Elizabeth's permission, of course. Finds hidden compartments or artifacts. A symbolic item is found, linking him to every crime scene. Elizabeth finally read the full journal. Chilling and calculated thoughts. David returns while someone is in his room. Tense confrontation avoided. Michael catches Candace and threatens to sue. He still protects David. So, you know what I'm saying? Love, is love truly blind, though? Versus the evidence of evil? Huh? So, you love your child, but will you turn the child in for this? Huh? So, David now start targeting those who are getting too close. Nina, right, Elizabeth's friend, received a threat from David. So a flashback, right, reveals David's first kill, something from childhood, man, the very first kill. So Shaw and Whitmore close in, but lack probable cause. Elizabeth debates suicide to stop him from hurting anyone else. Now, Candace and Elizabeth, right, we're meeting and stuff like talking about the situation. Okay, share intel and fear, right? So intel and fear, right? Both of them. So the book, so the journal mentioning a final sacrifice. Now, who does he want to sacrifice? Is it his mother or is it Nina? Huh? Because both of them is like a thorn in his damn side. Huh? Tell me. So, in chapter 12 now, detectives set a trap for David based on the journal and Candace's profiling. Elizabeth is part of the plan, risking and emotionally devastating. Something risky and emotionally devastating. David starts to suspect something, becomes erratic and aggressive. Nina performed a spiritual cleansing ritual, asked for ancestors for protection. Shaw and Whitmore follow David to an abandoned building, right? No, David set the trap for them instead. Almost killed one, right? David was, a man. He was something else. Okay, so you know what I'm saying? David was the predator, right? He was the predator. And the detective were the hunters. Okay? You know what I mean? Detective trying to get David, trying to get him. Yep. So Candace, right, analyzing the journal final passage, uncovered a cold message. I wonder what message is that, you might ask. Read the book. So Elizabeth prepared a confession to the media exposing her son. Okay, you know what I mean? So the books went into all kinds of stuff, all kinds of different things, right? Different chapter talked about different things. And then guess what? Elizabeth just wake up from her dream. I mean, when all said and done, she woke up from her dream, still pregnant. Now what will she do? Right? What will Elizabeth do, right? The pregnancy is still early. David hasn't even been born yet. The events felt too real to be just an imagination. Huh? But still an emotional whiplash, though. You know what I'm saying? But a relief, a guilt, uncertainty. Nina tells her dreams are messages, not fantasy, when she discusses it with Nina. Okay? Michael is still oblivious, just happy to have a healthy wife and a child. Right? So Michael is just a happy person. Okay? You know what I mean? Before he was born, I'm telling you right now, this book is such a good, good read. Simple read, man. You know what I mean? You enjoy it. You know what I mean? Your cup of coffee in the morning time, discussing certain things. You know, a book like this, you could talk around with your homies or your homegirls in the kitchen table. You know what I mean? What would you do, right? You know what I mean? So the book did end when she went to an abortion clinic, though. But did she really have an abortion or no? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Did she choose love or no? That's the question that you need to ask yourself, okay? So Before He Was Born is available on Amazon. So please go ahead and get your copy, okay? Support this young independent author, okay? Young. Yeah, you're right. Well, thank you very much. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.